We live in very confusing times, don't we? Pick any topic on the news and you'll find confusion. Just if you dare, think about our politics in Northern Ireland, how we split all the time over all sorts of things and we find confusion. Or the pandemic, masks, vaccines, the relaxation of restrictions and guidelines, no shortage of confusion. What would you do about the confusing situation between Russia and the Ukraine? Even in the church, there's confusion. Because when Jesus speaks to us, it's often in these parables, and they're not always straightforward, and we can get confused. People can be confused about the simplest of things. They can be confused about what makes someone a Christian. We've had wars and reformations that prove that's true. In fact, just on TV last night, the girls and I were astonished at the confusion around something as important and common as baptism. And then there's you and me. What would you do with us? In our own lives, in the inner chat you have with yourself all the time, we can find confusion. I'm going to say that that's not good. It's not good to be confused, but it doesn't have to be that way. And this parable of the net might help us see why. This parable, I wonder if my slides are working. This parable helps us see that Jesus is just giving us a repetition of the gist of other parables. If you go back to the parable of the weeds, when we looked at that, we saw that both the wheat and the weed would grow together until the end. Remember that? And there's a bit of that in this parable as well. The net gathers up good and bad fish. And because of that, that means the fish have to be sorted. When the net's full, they pull it up onto the shore, they sit down, they collect the good fish, throw the bad away. And then Jesus explains this to us. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come. They'll separate the wicked from the righteous. Do you see that? There's gathering. There's sorting or separation. And maybe worryingly there, there's also punishment. Now, you're supposed to find that quite stark. It's stark, isn't it? But we've heard this before. Some of the seed that's scattered will make it, some won't. The wheat will be brought into the barn, but the weeds are burned. If there's anything different here at all, it's in the way the fish are gathered. You see, a farmer can sow his seed, or an enemy can come and sow his seeds and the weeds, but the fish are just fish. You have to catch them before you can sort them. So how does a fisherman sort his catch? Well, what does a fisherman mean by a good fish or a bad fish? Well, out of all the fish in Galilee, most were unclean and inedible. They had to be sorted. And the word for bad here, it's more than poor quality or they're being too small. It's more than that. It means that these fish are either dying or starting to go off. You couldn't eat them. You couldn't sell them. So they had to be thrown away. Now, look, even at this point in church this morning, we could get lost, couldn't we, thinking about fish? We could get lost and confused about this. But if we try to hear Jesus carefully, we might get more out of it. Look again at what he says. That there on screen is really a comment on the church and how people in the church can be confused about what a Christian is. What is good? What is bad? It's a comment on the church. It's a warning as well, folks, about being carried along. You can get carried along in church in all kinds of ways. Everywhere I've been, it's like this. You can come to the Sunday service. You can go to the prayer meeting. You can join one of the organizations in the church, or maybe you're part of a home group. You can end up hearing a lot about Jesus on a regular basis, but it doesn't mean we're Christians. Here's a really basic question. What is a Christian? Think about that for a second. How would you answer? Where would you start? What are you looking for? How could we explain it to someone who had never heard of Christianity? When Jesus says there are good fish and bad fish, and then talks about judgment, he's forcing you and I to think about what good is, what a Christian is. So what is a Christian? The word Christian means little Christ. So a Christian is a follower of Jesus. And listen, he is what's good about the Christians. Don't think I can say this clearly enough or often enough, because I come across it all the time. There are no good Christians or bad Christians. There are Christians and non-Christians. Somebody in the room is the worst Christian in Ballygilbert. It might be the fella in the pulpit. Doesn't matter. Christian is Christian. I met a lady once, she said, I'm not a very good Christian. I said, it doesn't matter. You're in or you're out. And her world changed. She'd never heard that. Not astonishing. When I was a teacher back in the glory days, Katrina Ruan was education secretary. One day we got some documents emailed to the school about something. And there were two options for opening the documents. You could read these documents in, wait for it, Irish or non-Irish. See what you did there? That's quite stark, isn't it? Now, I'm not going to get into language acts in Northern Ireland with you this morning. But there's a worldview there, Irish, non-Irish. There's a starkness to that that we actually find in our parable. There are good fish and there are bad fish. There are Christians and there are non-Christians. You're either in Jesus or you're not. Now, the Bible tells me that. I'm not making this up. The Bible tells me that's the case. Here's part of Ephesians 2. Look at this. As for you, people in the church, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's who we used to be. Bad fish, dead, dying, outside Christ. But then we read this. This is still Ephesians 2. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you've been saved. Good fish, alive in Christ, the product of grace and mercy and God's great love for us. Folks, if you were confused earlier, that's a Christian. And maybe we can start to see that anything that isn't growing is dead. That's not just true, but it should help you and I be less confused about what a Christian really is. If we're not growing, we're dead. I wonder if you're helped by that. I really, really hope that we are. Hope that's clear for us. What do we do with this parable? Well, Jesus is very keen for us to see past the pictures he's used. Seeds and weeds and fish or mustard seeds and yeast. Last week we heard about a treasure and a pearl. Jesus wants us to get past those. And he adds a question for his friends. Good question. Have you understood these things? Have we? Are we seeing that we can't just go to work tomorrow or to lunch with a friend or spend time with our spouse or our children or our grandchildren? We can't do any of that tomorrow and just try harder. We can't do that. You should not hear this parable or any of these parables and think, right, tomorrow I'm going to be a good fish. Because it's Jesus who is good. It is Jesus who saves us from trying to save ourselves. That is the good news, folks. That is the gospel that we're in love with. We so love to hear that. It's not about us. It is free grace. So what do you do? You're thinking, well, I was going to go into work tomorrow and try harder. I was going to spend time with my family and my grandchildren and try really hard to be nicer. And you're telling me, don't do that. What should we do? What do we do? Well, Jesus explains what to do in another little parable. Here's what Christians are to do. Every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasure as well as old. Now look, full disclosure, there's a lot going on there in that little paragraph, and we're about to finish. You'd be glad to hear. So we're not going to go too technical this morning with this. We're still thinking about what a Christian is, what we're supposed to do as Christians. And listen, it is disarmingly straightforward. It is frighteningly straightforward. What are you to do tomorrow and the next day? It's this. Here's another version of that. We're to humbly and joyfully to receive the message of the kingdom, and we confidently and urgently spread the message of the kingdom. We hear it and we tell it. If Jesus is our treasure because he's rescued us and he's cleaned us up and he's put us on a path of growth into his likeness, we will talk about that. We will talk about him. When someone this week says to you, how was your weekend? Will we mention Jesus? Because that's what disciples do. They treasure Jesus and they share him with others. Look at it again. Disciples, they have Jesus in their storeroom. That's actually the treasure of their heart. And he is the treasure they share. They bring him out. Do you remember where we started this morning? Seems like a long time ago. What matters to you the most? Well, if Jesus is our treasure because he's rescued us and cleaned us up and put us on the path of growth into his likeness, we will talk about him. That's what you should do tomorrow. Shall I pray for us? That's worth praying for, isn't it? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we can be selfish creatures. We can love all kinds of things more than you. We can even love the gospel and keep it to ourselves. Father, forgive us for that. Give us hearts that treasure Jesus and lips that are compelled to speak of him. Father, make us those disciples, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.